Hey, what's going on here? This is Corey Beal, man. Welcome back to Tales from the Grind with our special guest today, Miss Nile Harris, CEO of Warrior Unleashed. And hey, this may be unfamiliar for you guys because your boy is sitting in the chair while our fabulous hostess, Miss Erica Harvell, normally take reign. But I decided to bully her today and got my Debo on to say, hey, you better not show up to work today. It's my time to shine. Without further ado, now, what's going on?
Hey, Corey, I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you talk to us. You getting ready for the debate?
Oh, you know I am. Now, look, I have already voted. I believe in doing my civic duty. I've already voted, but I still, I'm ready to check out tonight's debate.
Well, I haven't got a chance to vote yet. I don't, you know, I'm still... May shock a few people up in the air who's going to get my vote.
You're up in the air?
Yes, that's cool. I
look,
am.
I'm more concerned that you go vote and make your voice heard than, you know, who you're voting for, but who you voting for.
Oh, man, don't put me on the spot. You're trying to put me on the spot, y'all. Don't put me on the spot.
You don't have to answer that question.
Now, I'm going to get out there and vote, man. I know my son, he's excited today. Him and his mother, you know, my youngest son just turned 18 years old. So when I was taking him to football practice this morning, he was like, hey, Dad, I'm going to do my civil duty today. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, you did turn 18 years old? Check you out.
Yeah, I remember the first time I went to vote. Yeah, I was so excited.
he was excited. So I'm excited for him. You know, his mother always, you know, she makes sure that she gets some of those sentimental moments in. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm going to kick your ass next time. But I'm happy for him. He was excited. And, you know, I said, hey, man, with all in doubt, just put in Kanye.
No. Don't tell him that. unless he agrees with Kanye's position on
Kanye 2020,
you know, on whatever.
As much as, you know, the homie has decided to put his name in the bid, you know, but we've been knowing that brother since he was 15 years old. I still, you know, I never knew his position. Like, I only heard like two debates, so I don't think we'd be that foolish enough. But I heard in Kentucky, he got it in.
He did get some groundswell in Kentucky.
Yeah, you know.
He said some that they liked, you know, so.
Clearly. He was able to get his thought across.
Got his thoughts across somewhere. I might have missed it.
I might have missed it. You know? I remember our barbershop's arguments.
You know?
And I'm like, what the hell, man, this punk was just arguing about?
So, you know, hey, you know, if Kentucky like it.
If Kentucky like it. Now, Maxie, my frat brother on here trying to put me on the spot. Now, we ain't having that, bro.
What's he saying?
He ain't talking about who you going to vote for.
Look, it's more important that you know the issues, and whoever you vote for, you're doing it because they most align with you. Now, if you're just voting party lines, now, you know, a lot of people don't know that George Washington didn't even want political parties. For this exact reason.
Okay.
And so if you're just out there voting because you want to stick with your party, I can't support that. But if you say that you want to vote for Trump or you want to vote for Biden and Kamala...
Kamala.
Harris.
Pronounce it the correct way.
Kamala. just know why you're doing it and how, you know, and vote in your interest. There are a lot of folks out here voting against their interests.
That's facts. That's something that I cannot dispute. A lot of us is voting. You know, many of us is going to miss that part, the important part of the election.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mighty funny, man, because we were just having this conversation off air. We both seen the movie Social Dilemma. Part of Social Dilemma when they said, wow, we played a part in shaping the vote.
Yep.
How much do you think that's going to come into play?
When... I think you've got some of these companies who kind of like what they said. You got some people at these companies who are like, "Hey, we really off the rails here," and I don't think it was intentional. I think probably in the last election, people just thought, you know, it's entertainment. Trump's an entertainer, and we're gonna do, you know, we're gonna put this out there. And we're going to let all these false news, because I think that they were at a point where they thought people are going to choose their news, right?
Right.
Read the news. I don't think they knew that they were going to have that big of an impact. And so I think that in this election cycle, we're not seeing as much of like all those news things that we saw last time. I don't think we're seeing as much as that. And then you also have media outlets like CNN who said, you know what? We kind of helped. That happened
shape
last time.
Narrative.
We helped
Absolutely.
Shape the narrative
yeah.
last time.
Yeah.
Now I think, you know, news outlets, like, you know, I like CNN. That's probably where I get most of my news. But I think they've also now gone the whole opposite direction. And now they're, you know, there's like Jake Tapper, you know, I think he's an excellent reporter, but it's clear he cannot stand Trump.
Cannot. Yeah, it comes
and
out.
And so,
right.
yeah, he can't even hide it.
And or Cuomo.
Or Cuomo.
You know, and
it's hard to, like, hey, I deliver the news and let me decide. And so now I feel like they've swung the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And I lived in Europe for a little bit.
Okay,
and
tell
I would
us
watch,
about that.
And I lived in the Netherlands. I was an expat assignment for a company I worked for, a medical device company I worked for. And I would watch the CNN Europe edition.
Right.
And the way that the news was delivered there was very matter of fact. Like, this happened, then this happened. And that was kind of it. Right? Like, even when they reported what the weather was in the U.S., mm-hmm. it would be like, it's 80 degrees in the U.S. You know? And I was... leading up to that presidential election between George Bush and
Al Gore, okay.
They were reporting on the election, but it was very filtered in terms of, like, President Bush spoke, Al Gore spoke. And then when I landed in the U.S., because the election was like 3 days away.
All the emotional pimping came.
Oh,
in, right?
My gosh. It was like an onslaught. And I didn't really realize how much of the news cycle is consumed with the election prior to the election, yeah. and like what's being said and all these pundits. And ever since then, ever since, you know, repatriating, I haven't really paid much attention to like the news and what they talk about when it comes to the election.
And that was, what, about 20 years ago?
No.
Al Gore, George Bush?
Maybe it was John Kerry. I'm trying to remember. It was the re-election of George Bush.
Oh, okay. John
yeah,
Kerry.
Yeah. It was
okay.
John Kerry.
15 years ago.
Yeah, hey, slow your roll.
Yeah, she just turned 21, y'all, so she wants to hold on to that. I get it. Wow. 15 years ago, yeah, the level of sensationalism is at an all-time high. You don't know who to believe. You got Fox News. They attempt to be matter of fact. But they're very condescending.
Very condescending. I like MSNBC, so I will actually, after debates, or after anything, I'll watch all three.
Okay.
I'll see what Fox says. I'll see what MSNBC says. You know, so I'll take a smattering. But boy,
it's
Jay Tapper cannot stand him, Trump.
It's written on his face. He don't have to say a word. It's definitely written on his face. Well, I'm looking forward today because it is entertaining. I personally believe Trump beat Biden at the last election. You know,
at the last debate.
I mean,
debate?
That's not last debate.
You think Trump beat?
Yeah, because
what's your scoring criteria?
Let me say this: like, he hit Biden on some matter of fact things that he didn't have an answer for, and he could just do that little silly ass smile that he does, right? Mm-hmm. Like when he was like, "You have 47 years to change legislation for black folks."
Absolutely.
What have you done? What makes you think you're going to do it now?
Yeah.
And when he said that, he had no clear answer.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to when if black folks...
But neither did Trump.
But Trump asked the question.
Right.
He asked 47 years. Now, this is what I'm saying. I'm not swaying to vote. What I'm saying was like, that was a great question.
Yeah, it was
an excellent
question.
Because the same thing we asked of Trump, you know, we said, a leopard can't change his spots.
Mm-hmm.
So this past 3 years, we said, hey, we don't trust you now. We don't care that Ice Cube sat down. You ain't done nothing for 3 years. And I go, 3 years, 47?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, someone got a longer track record than me.
Yeah. Now look.
To answer that question.
Yeah.
And and so when he didn't answer some of the questions that many of us is having.
Yeah.
And he didn't answer it clear.
Yeah.
Trump had too much ammunition.
Yeah.
So this go round, I expect Biden to be well prepped to answer those questions because it's important. It's like this election of all elections. It really matters.
Let's zoom out from that for a second. See, you got me out here talking about politics. I don't be talking about politics, Corey. But let's zoom out for a second.
Okay.
Is it Biden or is it the Democratic Party that for more than 47 years has not necessarily, unless it's an election year, been able to answer that question?
Well, listen.
To the point of that is, you know, when we are aligning ourselves to these parties now in 2020, and when I say align, I don't mean like I'm not a Democrat or a Republican.
Many people
drew
the line.
But some people draw the line.
Right.
But with completely ignoring the fact that these two parties were flipped 100 years ago.
And you know what? And many of us are not. I always say this is the party of Jim Crow.
Right. Democrat is the party of the Jim Crow. They
Bull
were the,
Connor.
They are
Democrat.
The Confederate flag is the flag of the Democrats.
Flag, right.
And the Republican Party is the party, they're the party that freed the slaves. Yeah.
They fired the slaves. They didn't free
them. Right. They fired the slaves, but they put them into a different type of slavery.
But not just that. I mean, well, they had to assassinate Abraham Lincoln to really get that across. Because he's going to open up the Freedmen's Bank, which was specifically aimed toward the free slaves to learn about free enterprise and capitalism.
And then take away the 40 acres and a mule and all the reparations,
so Andrew,
right?
So like, let's
not,
that.
Right, exactly.
Right,
so let's not, you know, when we try, when
we need
talk
to,
about.
We need to debate the whole,
we need to debate the whole thing.
Peel all the onions back.
Right,
yes.
So it isn't just about Biden didn't answer that question. He has 47 years of being problematic. Every Democrat has problems being, you know, who's sat in the White House.
Has issues.
Has had.
And they should have had
issues because it comes back to the party, and you know, what has the party done? And so the Democrats have done a very good job of separating themselves from the fact that the Confederate flag represented them. Like they've sort of washed that out of their history, but you know, that's where they started. Like, that's, you know, it was called, you know, a little something different then, but that was the flag of the South. And when you look at like the South and the North, even if you, when you start to zoom out even way from race, and you look at education and you look at health and you look at the discrepancy between the North and the South, you know, when the Civil War ended, the North said, and the Republicans said, that the South would never rise again. And now the South is primarily Republican and has the biggest disparities in health, the biggest disparities in wealth. It's slowly changing because as the North becomes more expensive, people are starting to move down towards the South.
North and West, yeah, they're coming
back
to the South.
Yeah, they're coming down to the South.
Right.
And so that might start to change. But you see, you know, these parties were disaffecting poor white people as well. And, you know, we can't forget that none of us, your vote matters, and I don't want to say that the vote doesn't matter, because it does absolutely matter, but we can't forget that there are forces that when we go on Facebook or we go or listen to CNN or we, you know, whatever, that there are forces that are trying to control our narratives.
Absolutely.
The Koch brothers don't want there to be more transportation in some cities. So, like with Nashville, the Koch brothers were very instrumental in being
anti-public transportation.
Yeah. Because they want people in their cars and buying gas.
Absolutely.
So it's all, it, you know, it kind of gets encapsulated in the presidential campaign. Mm-hmm. But I think what happens is that we only pay attention during the presidential campaign.
You're going right to my next point, because this is my hope, because I've really lost hope. And I'm going to say voting, but listening to why we vote, because it's It's based on emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on ignorance. And I mean ignorance of being ignorant, of not knowing the history, the platform, what interest is being taken away. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm hoping that this particular election make people understand how important it is just to go to a PTO meeting.
Yes.
Just to go to your home association's meeting.
Yep.
Just to go
city council
to your city council meeting. Yep. Like the energy need to translate into the community.
Yeah.
Because these are our former, I mean, the people who we vote at community levels end up presidents, end up governors of states, end up mayors of cities.
And we need to vote in the midterm elections as
well. So I'm hoping that we understand that this energy don't need to die down. Like, this is not the only election that matters.
Right.
You know, so I'm hoping that it you know, it fuses its way on down and we stay there so we could talk about the Koch brothers, right? So we can talk about these different entities that want to suppress voting, not just from a systemic standpoint, but from a monetarily standpoint.
Yeah.
And many of us is not really getting there. Yeah. But hey, you know, we can talk about politics all day long. We can talk, hey, I could go on and on because I'm the person that I can listen to both sides. You know, I just don't like some of my sheer arrogance when people say Ice Cube wasn't a person to sit down with Trump. And I'm like, bro, you in this tax bracket. How you talking?
Yeah.
Like, you ain't even making bread. Like, the you don't even have a plan for your damn life. So how you going to sit up here? So, but,
You know, Ice Cube got a lot of flack. But, you know, I don't know why, per se. Like, I mean, I get the why. Like, I get what people are saying. But I'm like, He put his hand up. He said something, and he went and had a conversation with somebody. So, like, sometimes I feel like we want to complain when we don't get a seat at the table. Then we want to complain when we do get a seat at the table because we don't like.
One of my favorite rappers, Jadakiss, said this line, and it really changed changed my life. He said, "The have-nots always complain." The have-nots always complain, and that made me consider the source. So when I hear people complaining, I look what they're lacking.
And to me, I was like, okay, Ice Cube doesn't represent me, but I'm not going.
He raised his hand. That's
he raised his hand, and he said something, and they listened. And
but you know, but
that
this,
doesn't
this,
mean
but
he
this
speaks
underscore
for me.
Our ignorance when it comes to politics. We're emotional. They vote for their interests. Period, point blank.
Period, point blank.
Period.
They vote,
and
they
we
vote
stay
for
there.
Their
2020,
interests.
2020, we stay there.
And that's what I tell people. Know what the policies are. Know what people stand. And vote in your interest.
That's it. That's as simple as that. So, hey, we got CEO, Warrior Unleash.
Warrior Unleash.
Do tell us about it.
Whoa, okay, that's
concept, the mindset, where did it come from? Why today's time, particularly in 2020?
Okay, that's
that warrior
that's
needs
a
to
lot
be
of
unleashed.
Questions.
Talk to
so
us.
Let me tell you, I guess, where it started. You know, I'm you know, was corporate America soldier. And
I was a
corporate America soldier. And but I liked it. Like, that was what I envisioned for myself. You know, my education, my
educated from where? Talk about the background.
Okay, yeah. You want to know the background?
Okay.
So I have a Bachelor of Science in Finance and a Bachelor of Arts in Communication from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
Big 10 in the building.
ILL. We both from Chicago.
Hey.
I have an MBA in General Management and Strategy from the University of Michigan.
Okay.
And I have a Master of Education and Education Leadership through the Broad Residency for Education Management of Urban Education.
Oh, this black woman, excellent. You got to know people like this. Is what this is the people you need to know.
And just so we're clear, those two masters were paid for by fellowships.
Hey, no problem. It was paid for.
It was paid for. That's so what I matters. Just want people to say that because I want people to know. I want our people to know that there's money out there to pay you to go to school.
Right, so you don't have to worry about student loans. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. So, you know, started my career in financial services in Chicago, Chicago Board of Trade, licensed. Registered representative was the technical term.
Right.
And
double R.
Loved it, but didn't like who I had to be. And to be in that industry, like, it wasn't just enough to make money. Like, I felt like I was called, but I didn't know where. You know, I was in my 20s. I didn't know. I was a, you know, started off as a mutual fund data analyst. And, you know, I just didn't know. So, but that's how I ended up at Michigan, because I wanted to make a career pivot and transition and found healthcare and was a medical device company, loved healthcare, loved what I was doing. And it's so interesting. You know, I had varying experiences there. An article just dropped in on the Wall Street Journal yesterday about, you know, some of their practices when it comes to managing discrimination. So I posted that on my LinkedIn page. A very brave and courageous friend of mine, you know, talked about his experiences there and how he's been silenced. And ultimately, I ended up leaving there and then working in education for a couple of years, wanted to serve in that capacity. And I left there, finished there, and went to go work for a small boutique company doing consulting and management for life sciences. And one day I went to the doctor, completely routine, but my blood pressure, they were just shocked. They came into the room. They're asking me if I'm okay. My blood pressure was 170 over 110.
Mm.
And I did not I knew I had some issues managing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize it was that high.
That's almost stroke level.
That is stroke level. That's hypertensive crisis. And they're like, you know, we can't let you leave. And, you know, I wasn't overweight. I wasn't, you know, I actually ran that morning. I think I ran like 2 or 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, praise God, I didn't just drop dead in the middle of that running. But I knew immediately what it was. And it was my job. It was, you know, this person I was working for was ultra toxic and would call me text and call 3 o'clock in the morning, on the weekends. It was awful.
Too much.
It was too much. It was awful. And and the turnover at this place was like 99%. So it wasn't just me, it was other people. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to just do some independent consulting while I look for another job that strikes, you know, brings me joy, sparks joy, right? I had never really considered myself an entrepreneur. I've been doing some side hustling now, you know.
Right.
So my company, Harris Ventures Group, which is the umbrella for my businesses.
HVG,
HVG, yeah, in the house. So I've been doing some side hustling under that company. And so when I left, I was like, okay, I'm going to look for another job. And I just could not find a job in Nashville. I don't care how much they say there's a talent shortage.
Yeah.
Folks cannot find a job here. So I'm doing my little side hustle. I'm like, well, maybe I should be doing this full time. Like, maybe this is it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did this the seminar. When you learn how to speak and coach, because that's really what I want to do, right? Like, I really liked seeing other people win. Like, I'm mission driven. So what I liked about healthcare was helping patients. And like, that's what I want to do. Like, I still want to help people in some capacity. And so enter the pandemic. And like, okay, so for real, I'm probably not going to find a job. So I like, let's make this work. And the warrior thing came along because when I was leaving that doctor's office, just last year, or in 2018, it was the end of 2018. I was leaving that doctor's office and I reflected back on a moment in my childhood where I felt like that was the warrior child, right?
Okay.
I was out, I waded out into Lake Michigan and picked up this stick. I had to be about 8, picked up the stick and started beating the waves. I'm just out there just having a ball and I don't care about what else is happening. I'm just beating the waves with
this
stick.
It was in your zone.
It was in my zone. And that image came into my mind of like, that's what we are as children. We come to this world, we're warriors, and our warrior spirit leads us until at some point, as adults, we get these things in our mind.
And it represses the warrior spirit. Trust me, I know.
We have to call on that warrior spirit, right? And so that's how, first it started off was like as warrior life coaching. But I was like, nah, that's not enough. Like, because what I do is I help people release that warrior spirit, ignite it, make the jump over to the other side of fear and foolishness. And so I was like, you know what? It's warrior. And then when I went to go trademark warrior life coaching, this is how you know divine intervention.
Right.
So when I start like trying to look into like legalizing these things and trademarking, they were like, warrior life coaching, it probably won't work. So then I heard Warrior Unleashed and I was like, oh no, that's gotta be something. And so nothing.
And you snatched it.
And I snatched it. It is a video game. Warrior Unleashed is a video game, but in terms of like coaching and consulting, it's not there. So I'm all about, yes, unleash that warrior spirit, because everything starts with mindset.
Let me ask you this. Do all black women get that yes infliction?
Yes!
Because y'all all sound the same. Is that choir practice for you guys?
That's in our, you know how Neo gets the, right. gets the chip? That's in our chip.
Everybody
said
it the same way.
Yes! That's in our chip.
Okay. On cue, all the time. Fellas, we're going to have to come up with some y'all
got bruh.
Bruh. Oh, I try not to use bruh.
Bruh. Look, because you got bruh. Oh. And then you got bruh. And then, like, you've got like several inflections of bruh to mean different things.
I just think from. Yeah, that's true. I'm a fam guy. Fam.
Yeah. Y'all got yours. You got to leave us with our yes.
Yeah, y'all can have that.
Yeah.
You will not hear me say it at all. at all. Look, Carl Thomas in there. Okay, but cool. Hey, I think that's dope. Warrior Unleashed 2020. You know, we have to because that's where imposter syndrome come in, right?
Oh, I talk about that, yes.
Yeah, so and many people are not really up on that. My therapist told me about it, you know, and as I started to really shift and being who I am. And it's difficult because when you get to that point, you've developed relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm working on this thing. I've been hashtagging no new trends.
Okay.
And trends is T-R-I-E-N-D-S. And what a trend is, it's a friendship connected through trauma.
Ew, interesting.
I don't want no more trends. Because I realize a lot of my friendships were through trauma. You went through something, I went through something. Hey, we cool.
Okay.
Oh, he did that to you, she did that to you. Hey, we get...
the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah. So I'm like, no new trends. We got to kill that. That's foolishness. You know,
and
so.
Your connections, and it's not to say, and I want to be careful because it's not to say that it's wrong to start a bond through that. But if that's how the bond is continued.
I'm finna put this finger up and put it to my lip.
Wait. But if that's how the bond is continued.
Y'all see me on Facebook, y'all?
Because it's not necessarily because you have a shared interest.
Okay.
And, right? And it's not that necessarily that's wrong, but what I'm trying to turn this off. It's not that that's necessarily wrong. It's if it continues because you continue to talk about that person.
I think many of us continue it.
Yeah, and, you continue to talk about that trauma and you're not developing something outside of that trauma.
I heard something the other day that environment is better than hereditary.
Yeah. You got nature versus nurture.
To speak about that more. Okay, so Warriors Unleashed. How many years has been you been in business?
Well, so Harris Ventures Group has been around since 2011.
Okay.
Warrior Unleashed has been just a few months, you know, this year into 2020. But I have been doing the work of, like, coaching individuals, speaking. I recently launched a membership site where I am teaching people, like, business basics. I'm taking everything that I learned in school and in 24 years, 25 years in corporate America, I'm teaching, like, how do you do financial model? I, like, took people, you know, like, in Excel, like, this is, you know, this right. is how we you write a formula, right?
Right.
How, what is marketing? How to put together a marketing plan? Like, I'm teaching people this because, one, okay, you have the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have to move from idea into execution. So my superpower is liberating people's dreams from the confines of their mind.
And we're out. This has been another show, Tales from the Grind, featuring Now Harris of Warrior Unleashed. Y'all go check her out. Hey, for those who just hopped on last, y'all need to replay this this show. She dropped a lot of gems, and we're looking forward to having her on. We don't know before the year out, or maybe some of them seeds and start planting like I'm doing right now. She'll be here for 2021. Hey, you guys, we out, man. Thank you.